But I'd like you to propose that.
We will. We can do that. Thank you.
Any other?
Well, we had an invited panel of two Parks Board members and one foundation member.
You do have one witness that's needing to leave soon that's hoping to testify.
Oh, do it.
She could do that before our panel. She needs to leave.
Who's that?
Would
that witness come forward then? Go ahead.
Amanda Fritz speaking only for myself, and I appreciate that Parks bringing their sponsorship and naming policies to you, and Bob Schultz is particularly to be commended for opening the policies up for review. I support the naming policy, and these two are very separate, very different policies with different criteria. I suggest that you adopt a version of the naming policy for all city properties, not just Portland Parks and Recreation, and I would like you to direct other city bureaus to consider this. I particularly like the requirements of review by neighborhood associations and consideration for the Parks Board in the naming policy. That is not in the sponsorship policy. There is no public review for the sponsorship policy, and I would like you to change that. It would be good if there were more time spent in engaging community groups. There was only one public meeting about this. It wasn't a hearing before the Parks Board. Really, this is a subject that people can engage in and begin to understand the parks budget as a whole and what factors come into play in funding city programs, and it would be helpful if there were more community discussion. However, if you move forward with moving this immediately, please amend the policy statement to be clear that the city is responsible for funding parks adequately and equitably without relying on sponsorship. And I've proposed some amendment in the language. I proposed this several times before, and it hasn't gone anywhere. But fundamentally, we should be paying for parks with taxes, either business taxes and property taxes, and that should be the base program, which should be properly funded by that and by the levies that people support, and not having to rely on corporate sponsorships. Secondly, Mr. Schultz said that there is a policy about not allowing corporate logos. However, I believe that may be just in the naming policy and not in the sponsorship policy. Before the second reading, please check to make sure that there is something that says that we don't have logos allowed as part of a sponsorship deal. Thirdly, the policy currently says that there's a preference will be given to giving off-site recognition. That needs to be changed to shall be given. Will is permissive, shall is mandatory. And fourth, there does need to be some public review of major sponsorship deals, especially if Measure 2691 passes. A lot of these administrative decisions wouldn't necessarily come to the council, and so I would suggest that you need to craft this policy with a view to, are all these things going to come back to council, or are they going to be administrative decisions? It matters. I do appreciate the time. Thank you for letting me jump the queue to be here, and I'm sorry I have to leave.
Mary Rubel, Barbara Walker, and Linda Lavalette. And then that's the only invited panel, but there are other people here to testify.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I am Linda Lavalette, the Executive Director of the Portland Parks Foundation, located at 888 Southwest Fifth Avenue. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for bringing these policies to the council. It raises the level of importance of the public-private partnership to create the city we all want to enjoy. The private sector has supported our city's parks from the beginning, so I want to remind all of us that many parks we enjoy are named after the families who donated the land. Benson, Terwilliger, McClay, Ladd, Chapman, and others. We often forget that. So the naming issue and the private support of our parks has always been there. We at the foundation are enthusiastic about having these policies in place. Consistency, certainty, and transparency are all good things, and we believe these policies help that. We all know that the financial resources needed to steward our park system represent a very big number. We are delighted that the Bureau has the opportunity to develop sponsorships with companies to accomplish its goals. At the same time, as you know, the foundation seeks and develops relationships with private donors with philanthropic intent. Those can be individuals, companies, or foundations, to enhance and expand recreational opportunities for all. These policies, under your consideration this morning, give the Parks Bureau and the Foundation the certainty and consistency that makes it possible to do our jobs more effectively and more timely. Both sponsorships and donations are important, and we each have our role. The Parks Bureau has lots of experience doing recognition tastefully, not offensively, and has been doing this for many years, as do many other institutions like museums, theaters, and so on. Acknowledgement is appropriate and is being done well. These policies ensure that will continue in the future. If we lived in a world where the public provided all the money needed for the park system that the public wants and deserves for all to enjoy, then we wouldn't need these policies. And that is clearly not the case, nor has it ever been. And that is why the Bureau is pursuing sponsorships, why the foundation was created as the vehicle for private philanthropy to make a difference in our city. Having the park system the citizens want requires that public-private partnership. It's been true in the past, it is true now, and it will only increase in the future in terms of the need. Thank you for your support of these thoughtful and needed policies.
Good morning. I'm Mary Rubel, and I'm on the Parks Board. I want to thank you for your consideration of this policy and urge you to support it. I believe that sponsorships and naming policies are critical to the success of the Parks Bureau and Parks and Recreation. While I agree with our previous speaker that taxes should be able to cover most of the services that we offer, we know that that's not a possibility. We also know that having the public-private partnerships between organizations and individuals in the city actually strengthen our Parks and Recreation program because there is much more involvement and ownership of the program. We need to be thoughtful about the way that this policy was developed. The Portland Parks Board did review the policy three separate times, gave quite a bit of input. The input was taken. We listened to what other people from the public sector said, and then we approved this policy. So we really believe that this is a thoughtful policy, that the Bureau has done its job in identifying all of the issues that could be brought up related to naming and sponsorships, and we believe that the policy is a good one for the future for the City of Portland. So again, I urge you to support this policy.
My name is Barbara Walker. I'm also a member of the Parks Board. I live at 1891 Southwest Hawthorne Terrace. I'd just like to say that it is the Portland way to find creative, tasteful opportunities to obtain necessary funding for our park system. From the North and South Park blocks to the contributions I don't think we could possibly have had to get Pioneer Square, big and little, if it became impossible to do this. These possibilities provide the needed precautions. They've been very thoroughly vetted and re-vetted by citizens. And the precautions that are needed to encourage and give direction to public-private partnerships. So much of Portland's treasured park system exists because someone has stepped forward to provide what the citizens want and the public cannot afford. It is a phenomenal part of the Portland tradition. I support these policies which give clear guidance to foster these partnerships and recognition the Portland way. If it is an improvement to change the thresholds, to move in a way that seems to not burden you, there is no problem with, for any of us, with this. I am convinced that we all want the same thing. We've just had more chance to strengthen and strengthen these policies so that inadvertent things that this public would not want do not occur. Thank you for your serious consideration and for your caring as much, each one of you, that we have an appropriate park system as the rest of the citizens do.
Thank you, folks. Is there a sign-up sheet?
Yes, we have 7 more people signed up. We have, I believe it's Jared Hyde-Towell and Richard Towell and Erwin Mandel, our first 3.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I have a brief statement that I've written that I'd like to read to you. My name is Jared Hyde-Towell. I'm a resident of East Columbia neighborhood, where our wonderful park called the East Columbia Children's Arboretum is located. It's 29 acres. My husband, Dick Toll, and I have been working hard, along with other volunteers, to secure contributions from individuals, public and private organizations for our park. This park has earned the reputation of diamond in the rough. When you enter this natural park, its beauty easily allows you to escape the stresses of everyday life. Our aim is to keep this forested place uncluttered of too many signs and plaques. We believe in giving credit where credit is due. And we surely know how important it is to recognize and acknowledge donors to the park with thank yous and credits that are permanent. This updated policy of the Parks Bureau will provide reviewing of sponsorship proposals, so that the purpose of the parks and the conditions at these sites will have full study. Hopefully, this policy will set rules on how donors are recognized. When you have set rules, it's so much easier to say to the donor, your recognition will be shown in this manner. Thank you.
I, too, have been out knocking on doors or attempting to raise some funds to support the work in our arboretum over there. And it's occurred to me as we've gone around with private and public and other entities that everybody is really in tune with the fact that there are rules and that there is a way for proper recognition to be given. The current policy is not a problem. The revised policy will enhance it. And thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
Ready to go. Erwin Mandel. On March 3rd, 2001, former Parks Commissioner Francesconi suggested renaming Portland International Raceway by selling that name. I gave testimony at that time. I'd just like to have that testimony repeated now. I'm computer stupid, so it's okay. Deliberately. Okay. Fire. Yeah, go. That's when I duped it.
Good morning. May I ask members of the council, Ms. Olson. Irwin Mandel, 1511 Southwest Park Avenue. I know Commissioner Francesconi has said there will be no naming of other facilities in Portland, but nevertheless, I think a warning flare has to be sent up at this point. Essentially, you know, we might be saying, welcome to Portland, formerly the city that works, now the city that sells itself. We can put up a sign at city limits saying, city for sale. I think a slippage, if you will, began with PGE Park. Now, perhaps, as someone has said, PIR can be known as Valvoline Speedway, which is pretty clever. I would suggest perhaps Exxon Auto Track. My real concern about this process is Park Block 5, which I've heard, you know, you're going to need money once the time expires and the city takes control of it to build it and maintain it. I do hope we won't end up with Banana Republic Park for that little square. I have some additional suggestions for you. Our transit mall is badly in need of reconstruction and rebuilding. Perhaps with a little persuasion, we might be able to have it renamed Starbucks Mall for us. And Mayor Katz, I know you're interested in cleaning up the Willamette River. And you are quite persuasive. And perhaps within the section within city limits, we could find a way to rename it Nike River. Appropriate for that. Even if the city really does get to be for sale, we could rename some of the bureaus themselves. Intel Parks and Recreation would do very nicely. Or the Microsoft Bureau.
Until the stock gets better.
Wait, you know, all good things come to your waits. Or we could have the Microsoft Bureau of Transportation. It would be very helpful. Now, essentially what we do here is avoid the issue of citizen responsibility for the functions of government when we sell names this way. If citizens are unwilling to pay for our needed governmental functions, then we have to do without. Without funds to pay for road repairs, who wants another gas tax, after all? Then drivers should be entitled to travel on the ruts and bumps and holes that exist in the road cars. If you're unwilling to pass a parks bond for the money needed for parks, upkeep, maintenance, and creation of, and then we do without parks. Quite simple. There's a basic psychological principle involved, and that is, there must
be consequences to what you do, and inaction is an action and follows a consequence, as I remember what I said then. I don't know why it cut out, but it cut out. And I had more brilliant things to say, but I think the idea has been conveyed. So let's stop there.
Our next three are Lily Mandel, Rick Seifert, and Harvey Collier.
Who's the third person? When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Lily Mandel. And I think we were very prescient then because today, I am sure that this situation for Park Block 5 is going to be needed to pick up money to take care of the park. So here we are again. This happened in 2001. I want to answer something. They say purchasing the naming rights of a room or building at a museum, which is a private institution, is not the same as a corporation purchasing naming rights of a park or square, since that is a public institution. Every time a citizen says, PGE Park, like I am saying right now, we are forced to provide free advertisement to a corporation, and I resent it. You mentioned in your new policy that you're not going to have any corporation names for a park, if I understand correctly, but within the park, there could be a gazebo or whatever, and that could be named Banana Republic Park. Well, I resent that because if I'm going to go to that gazebo, I will say I am going to go to Banana Republic Gazebo. There I go again. And I don't wish to be forced to advertise for them. That I am, you are forcing every one of us to do this. And I think it is wrong. You know, at the time, if you're going to sell everything in this city, sell everything, you know, it's you're going to have ads on buses, ads on maxes, ads on trolleys, ads on dollies, ads on parks, ads on marts, ads on ads on schools, ads on pools, ads on squares, ads on chairs, ads at the races, ads on braces, advertising here, advertising there, advertising everywhere. This city is for sale. And having somebody's name on a park is not how much money they have. It shouldn't be able to be bought. People's names are on parks who have done something, or streets as well. This is terrible. What's in a name? I know how precious a name is, and it is my name under the Nazis. My birth certificate was changed. And the way I feel about that, it's a precious thing. Who steals my purse steals trash. Who steals my name steals everything. And I do not wish to have, I'd rather do without than having to repeat and advertise anybody in this city. Thank you.
My name is Rick Seifert, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. These proposals are posed by the Hillsdale Neighborhood Association, the Hillsdale Business and Professional Association, the Coalition for Commercial Free Schools, and the Northwest Media Literacy Center. And while I belong to all four of those groups, this statement reflects my own thinking. These proposals are bad policy. They violate the trust we place in government to protect the commons. Public-owned places such as schools, rivers, streets, libraries, and yes, parks and parks facilities and rooms within parks facilities and hallways. The commons, like community, a word of the same derivation, has great value. It has historic, symbolic, civic, and as we see, monetary value. The very word commonwealth reflects that value. We vest the commons with names that reflect cherished values, and once indeed we had Civic Stadium. Its name celebrated civic life, civility, and even civilization. And today we have, as you know, PGE Park. Our leaders utterly failed us when they sold off Civic Stadium's good name with its associated virtues and values. These proposals further erode the values, these that we're considering today, further erode the values represented by and experienced in the commons. The commons should not be seen as opportunities, as the naming industry uses the word, for corporations to impose their names on us because the city's leadership has failed to find legitimate ways to fund upkeep. If the city needs money to maintain our parks, ask for it. Or accept help from benefactors whose wealth, we should remember, was derived not just from their efforts but from the labors of others. For such benefactors, a simple, dignified public thanks should do. These proposals set bad precedent. They are a slippery slope. One day might these very council chambers go on the corporate naming block in order to repair the roof or refinish the floor as part of a facility. What effect does this tawdry tit-for-tat financing have on our proud culture of volunteerism, where thousands give to this city selfishly with no thought of acknowledgement, where virtue and its accomplishments are their own rewards? And finally, these proposals purport to have created protections to prevent inappropriate naming and renaming. While the donation review process is relatively better than that for sponsorships, each excludes from the table the single most important stakeholder, the commons owners and users, the public itself. The guidelines for naming are often presumptuous and fuzzy. Let me just give you one example and I'm finished. One proposal says, historical or commonly used place names will be preserved whenever possible. Such vagueness raises the question, just how much money does it take to buy off a cherished public name? For all these reasons, these proposals, this trading in names, should be rejected.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Harvey Collier. I live at 5858 Southwest River Ridge Lane. I walk 5 minutes to my backyard, and I call it Willamette Park. I live right at John's Landing. I'm a member of the Royal Rosarians, as you can tell by my uniform today. I'm here at the express request of Prime Minister Bob Strader, who is now in Illinois at the service of his mother's funeral. And from there, he and a delegation of the Royal Rosarians are going to Washington, D.C. for the Apple Blossom Festival. He's asked me to come on his behalf and speak in favor of the proposal, with one exception. That exception is the naming would only be for those deceased at least 3 years, as it's written here. I happen to have been at the unveiling of the Vera Katz Esplanade. I happen to be a friend. It's a matter of fact, the individual who produced that work is a longtime friend of mine, a former roommate when he and I were Army intelligence agents stationed here in Portland, Oregon. That's Bill Bain. He also did the bust work for all of Senator Mark Hatfield. The point that I'm trying to make, and Senator Hatfield is also a friend of mine, is that here it says that deceased for at least 3 years. I think obligation of the Parks Bureau, and certainly this commission, has the ability to determine whether or not the name of an individual who would be placed on a park should be left to the discretion of council, primarily because there are still a number of men and women in this city, in this state, who have represented us in wonderful, wonderful, meritorious ways that should be given credit for their hard work and labor over the years prior to their passing on, primarily so that they and their family can be recognized for their hard work. I also need to tell you that the Royal Rosarians are involved in so many of our wonderful parks, and I want to give our Parks Department, Mr. Mayor, many kudos. I moved back to Portland after being gone for 20 years, primarily because of the city and the parks in this city. We are blessed with a multitude of wonderful natural spaces in this city, and it's because of the decisions that you and your predecessors have made that have made this city so livable. I support this. I do believe that with your advice and consent and your votes, nay or positively, will make this city better. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our last two are Gail Snyder and Linda Robinson.
I thought you were sitting there. I'll start. My name is Gail Snyder. I'm the executive director of Friends of Forest Park. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I never thought that I would see the day when I would testify in favor of corporations. However, 5 years in my capacity with Friends of Forest Park, a nonprofit caring for Forest Park, have shifted my view. I've seen budget cuts, I've seen resources decline, as parks and recreation staff is stretched thinner and thinner, and as the public demands even more resources. What we're seeing, I think, is a tragedy of the commons. I think I have a perspective that is rather unusual. I interact with parks and recreation staff. I also interact with the public in quite a different way to how the Bureau interfaces with the public. So I think I have, again, an unusual perspective. I feel very privileged to work with park staff, and those I work with are very dedicated and highly competent. I also hear from park users. Our members, and we have about 1,500 contributing members and families, give very, very generously. And actually, they subsidize other park users, and I would assert that we are all subsidized in our lives in many ways by individuals, by governments, and by corporations. Among those at Friends of Forest Park that we turn to for support, our corporate partners, we've received extremely generous support through corporate grants and sponsorships. And I'll add here that the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we bring to the park system, as well as other nonprofits, don't absolve city government or the public of their obligation to steward public parks, nor does it take away the park's primacy in managing them. I'd like to tell you about my personal experience working with corporations. The individuals I work with are themselves passionate about parks and natural areas. They advocate for Forest Park, in this case, both internally and publicly. Keen Footwear, some of you know, have made an extremely generous both sponsorship and grants to Friends of Forest Park. When I was first working with them, I was quite concerned because we have relationships also with REI, Patagonia, Columbia Sports, their competitors. And so I said to Keen Footwear, to one of their VPs, so Bobby, what does this mean if we also now want to go to REI, for example, or Columbia Sports? And her response, I was so impressed. She said, you know, we're industry competitors, but when it comes to our parks and our community, we will be partners. And furthermore, we will collaborate and challenge our corporate partners to support, in this case, Forest Park, even more. And I asked the same question of REI, of Patagonia, of Columbia Sports, and had the same response from each of them, that yes, we're industry competitors, but we care about our community. We will work together as partners. In part, of course, these businesses recognize the irreplaceable value of parks to the economy of the city and to the region. Quality of life, sustainability, bring business to Portland. Some, in fact, name Forest Park specifically as part of the reason they came here. It's good for employee recruitment and retention and the physical, emotional health of individuals and the community in general. These businesses are also motivated by business and community interest, just as each of us has personal and, we hope, altruistic motives in our actions. So I urge you to give Portland Parks and Recreation another leg for their budget and fundraising stool and endorse this policy.
My name is Linda Robinson. I live in Outer East Portland, and I chair the Citywide Parks team. And I too am pleased to be here today. I think it's appropriate and very I'm pleased that the Parks Bureau has making an effort to formalize these policies. They have been doing naming and sponsorship for some time, and so I think it's good to have this identified and discussed and acted upon. One concern that I had when they brought this to the Citywide Parks team meeting is that it doesn't address the policies don't address any of the advertising that occurs, like at Delta Park, which is run by a concessionaire. And there are some of the enterprise things like the golf courses and like, and it doesn't address whether these people will also need to follow the policy. So I discussed this with them at some length. They have assured me that they are now working on an advertising policy, which will go along with these. This hasn't been developed yet, but will be coming eventually to City Council. And I wanted to make sure that gets, you know, on the record that these people too will have a policy that they need to be guided by. The issue about the logos, the corporate logos, this was something that when we had the meeting at Citywide Parks team came up, and there were people on all from very much in favor to very much opposed, and there were a lot of different opinions. And it's stated in the naming policy. I don't recall it being stated in the sponsorship policy, and I think that some additional discussion perhaps needs to be done along that line. And the final thing I wanted to say was that I too have some concern about how much public process there was. I know that it went to Parks Board three times, but I didn't even hear about it, and I'm involved with park stuff on a daily basis, and I didn't know about it until after it had already been to the Parks Board for at least the second time, if not the third time. So I think there was some limited exposure to the public. We made an effort to get the word out on our email list and the like and get some input, but I think I would like in the future for these policies to have a little bit more public outreach effort and not rely on just having it at a meeting that was called by a group of citizens. So that's my other concern, that I'd like to see a little bit more vetting of this. It was well vetted before the Parks Board. I don't think it was well vetted in a broader sense. And people care a lot about their parks, and they will come out and talk about it. So,
Is that complete the testimony? Mayor, I'd like to propose, given the concerns or desire was expressed by council members to have more explicit guidance about what decisions come to council for approval vis-a-vis sponsorship and naming, to return with some amendments in that regard next week or the week after.
Could I make a suggestion?
And there was also the issue of the deceased person. I'd like to, I think we have an answer to that, but we'll come back next week or the week after with that.
Would you be open to having some more community involvement? As we've heard from a couple folks, didn't feel like they were as much involved during that same time period.
I think as we've outlined, we've had this on the website for over 6 weeks. We have had three Parks Board meetings. We did have a public meeting. This is a public meeting today. Next week or the week after will also be public meetings. I'm not in support of sort of slinging this out into the twilight. I want to keep us focused on it.
So are you withdrawing it?
Sure.
Are you rescheduling?
I guess that's, well, yeah, I'd like to return next week or the week after with appropriate amendments that reflect the issues about sponsorship, naming, and council approval.
So do you want it continued or referred back to
Continued.
Do you want a time certain?
Yes.
Sure.
Is it, Commissioner, is there something in between slinging it out into the ether and not having any additional public input on this?
Well, as I said, I think we've had public input today. I don't think, you know, we've had public meeting. It's been on the website. We've had three Parks Board meetings. I think that's a pretty good process.
I mean, Linda Robinson is a huge advocate of parks. If she's saying that she didn't know about it, that's very telling. I'm uncomfortable with this policy. If we can do what you're proposing to do now, it makes me more comfortable. I appreciate that. But if you're going to have a period of time anyway, I'm not suggesting you play it out beyond that. But if you have 2 weeks now anyway, why not just allow Linda and Amanda and others that are huge park advocates to come in and weigh in?
Or email it out.
Yeah. I mean, they have weighed in. They were at the public parks meeting, and they have weighed in via website. But yeah, let's set it over for 2 weeks. Let's do
if
a time certain in 2 weeks.
Commissioner, if you could email out to a proactive email out to the list of park stakeholders, and if you haven't already, and ask them for their comment along with neighborhood association officers, which is available on Portland Online, that would make me feel more comfortable. I'd appreciate that. Can I ask a question before we leave the topic, though, on guiding principles? Under sponsorships, where it says sponsorships cannot be made conditional on parks and recreation's performance. I had just a little bit of a conversation with Columbia Sportswear when they were contemplating, during a regular business visit, when they were contemplating giving $1 million to parks, and I thought their condition was a reasonable one, and it was that we don't back out what would have normally gone to that particular park as a result of their sponsorship or their contribution to it. I thought that was a reasonable performance expectation of parks, and I just wanted to see if you thought it was as well, and moving forward, what your legislative intent was.
Basically, Commissioner, that's a good question. And what sometimes you'll find in the
in these situations is that a company will want to offer you some kind of a sponsorship relationship, and it may be based on the number of people that you both sort of estimate may be an event or take, you know, have sort of a market hit during the next, the period of the sponsorship. And so sometimes they'll try to say, well, we really want to sponsor this, and, you know, your estimate is there will be 1,000 people that come through this program in the next 10 weeks. And so we'll sponsor it. But if 1,000 people don't show up, we'll retrieve the money we gave you to sponsor that program. So what we're saying is we don't enter into agreements that have those kind of caveats. In other words, if you're going to be in a partnership with us to produce a program, then we produce the program, and the results are the results. And if it's not exactly what we all thought about, or if it exceeds that, we're not going to – we don't want to put ourselves in the position to do some kind of a program and then have the money withdrawn.
Commissioner, I think your concern is a very valid one, not only Columbia Sportswear, but all the other sponsors or donors have asked that their donation is not used as a backfill. And with each donor or sponsor, we bring those agreements to you, and we have done that with Columbia Sportswear, and there are provisions within the agreement that addresses specifically your issue.
In addition, Commissioner, when you were speaking to our commissioner, when we did the outreach on all of these policies, we did contact, actually I had personal conversations with the different friends groups. We did send out email draft policies of all of the stuff that we were doing to every one of our friends groups on our friends list, and we asked for their comments as well.
Does that include ONI notifications?
Yes, absolutely. We went through ONI to get the notifications out, as a matter of fact, Commissioner. So over the 6 weeks that this was on the website, we had 26 total responses. And we, like I said, we were interviewed TV, radio. We were really trying to use the public venue of the parks meeting. They actually asked us if we could be the agenda item for that month. So that's exactly why we chose to do it that way.
And what do you... I have some sympathy for the gentleman who testified about naming for having the option to name things for people that are alive.
Right.
Way back when, worked hard to try to get NATO Parkway renamed while Bill was still alive, and it took so long, and his sickness progressed faster than anyone thought to be able to do that. But what are your thoughts on that?
It's a dilemma for us, Commissioner. As you know, we have been getting a lot of requests for naming family members or some people who live in a neighborhood near a park or have volunteered that it's just overwhelming in terms of setting criteria. So this was part of the policy that we existing policy that we had with the recognitions that if a request was made, the council has the ultimate authority, and they could come to council, and council could change that. We did that with Vera Katz,
Change it on a case-by-case basis
when it's warranted. Mm-hmm. So,
if you could put that in, just so future folks dealing
to,
with
to
this.
Add that extra language, absolutely.
Unless otherwise overridden by council. Thanks. Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay, so 2 weeks from now, time certain. That'd be great.
Yeah, that will be April 25th at 10:30 a.m. time certain.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I have to go to a meeting I'm late for. They're going to hold over the two emergency issues till 2 p.m. so we can hit it right at the very beginning of that. There are still
376 and 381 are your emergency ordinance.
I'm sorry, again?
376 and 381.
Are held over?
Those are the two emergencies you have. So if you want to hold
two. Did you want to just continue them all to this afternoon? Everything, the rest of the agenda, to the afternoon?
If folks want to, we still have, in addition to that, we've got like six others.
I'm willing to plow through those now. There's a lot you guys are.
Okay, so starting with 377, then.
Okay.
Mr. Leonard, do you?
Yeah.
Can you pass that? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 377.
Did you want to take care of 376?
It's an
emergency. Oh, I'm sorry. Right, yeah. Okay, so yeah.
we should announce that
we'll move all the emergency ordinances to the 2 p.m. session.
376 and 381, I believe.
Okay. Correct. Sorry. Okay, 377. Amend contract with Architectural Resources Group to provide additional architectural and engineering services for Union Station Transportation Enhancement Project.
Good afternoon. It is now.
Good afternoon.